Martin McElrath. I'm in Kitimat, BC, and I'm the president of Unifor Local 2301, and we are on strike at Rio Tinto Alcan.
Great, Martin. Thanks so much for being with us today. As you mentioned, there's about 900 workers at the Kitimat smelter, the Rio Tinto Alcan smelter, that have gone on strike for a few days now. Maybe give us a brief update as to what's going on at the moment.
Well, at the moment, the employer has walked away from the bargaining table and said that they wanted to pause. So at this point in time, we're waiting for them to come back to the bargaining table.
And Martin, I know that you had been in negotiations for a little while with the company. Maybe tell me, how did this get to this point? You guys went on strike on the 25th. How did that all come together?
Well, it just appeared that the employer wasn't willing to deal with the issues that we have. It's 7 weeks we spent in bargaining. It was a pretty frustrating time to try and even just get some of the more simpler items dealt with. And, you know, and obviously it became more difficult for some of the more complex items. So up until the point of about 7 weeks deep into bargaining, we could see that there's going to potentially be an issue here if we don't get busy and get to work resolving our issues. We stated from the beginning, we're not necessarily married to the way we've written our demands, but we are married to the way or married to the issues that they represent. So we were very open to having them dealt with in whatever way made both sides comfortable. We just didn't seem to be getting any agreement on that. So it forced our hand. We provided the employer with a 24-hour extension in order to avoid this labor dispute, and that came and went. It didn't appear that they were willing to do the work that it took to avoid the labor dispute, and so we were forced to withdraw our services.
Martin, maybe tell me a little bit about some of these key issues that you spoke of. What are some of the key demands, key issues that you feel the company is not meeting that you and the union are trying to advocate for?
Well, we've got a number of issues, a number of demands for our retirees, about permanent jobs in the facility, pensions, benefits, health and safety. I mean, we're looking out for the future of our community. You take a look, I mean, you know, Rio Tinto uses, and we think they take unfair advantage of public resources to run their operations. And, you know, this facility was built on the backs of our retirees. So we don't want to leave our retirees out in the cold, and we want to have young workers from our communities to be able to earn the wages and benefits that we negotiate. This two-tier system that the company has deployed, where they're utilizing more and more contractors on site and violating our collective agreement and infringing on our bargaining unit, the integrity of our bargaining unit, that's just a race to the bottom. And so when you got people on site that are doing the same work, they're working for a contractor and earning far less than what we've been able to negotiate for our members, we think that's an injustice. And we want to balance that playing field. We want people to be able to earn a good living, to be able to buy homes, be able to contribute back to society with the wages and benefits that we're able to negotiate. Having people on site working the same jobs, making far less money, just does not make sense. And this company is making a lot of money. This is a very successful company. The aluminum market is soaring right now. It's not that they don't have the ability to pay. It's that they want to put more money in their own pockets, and we don't think that that's fair. We want workers to be able to have a chance to earn a good living, and they need to respect their workers. It's a very disrespectful company. It's a very toxic work environment. That place is run so lean that you can't, any movement out of an area causes such a disruption to the process because they want to put more money in their pockets. They're running people ragged. During that heat wave, there was people that you're not getting respirators. There's not enough people to accommodate the weather conditions. I mean, that could go on and on for you. It's an unsettled workplace, and things need to change. There needs to be a massive change, and that's what we're here for. We're here to get our members back to work as soon as we can, but it's not at all costs. We need to fix that workplace. We need to get in there, and we need to bargain some changes. And the employer hasn't been willing to work with us on that. And this is what's forced us into this situation.
Martin, as you know, you know Kitimat was built by Alcan back in the 50s. Uncle Al was a big supporter of the community for a long time. Since Rio Tinto has taken it over in the last number of years, there has been a change in that dynamic with the community and the company. Do you feel that that dynamic, as you mentioned, is creating that toxic work environment? And what are you hearing from other workers? What are you hearing from some of your union officials, people on the ground? Is there any way to find a solution to some of the things that you mentioned?
Well, I mean, the solution is at the bargaining table, that's for sure. And then the treatment of people inside the plant has to change. I mean, that filters down, you know, from the top, from corporate down, as the way they run their organization. I mean, they definitely talk a good game, and they talk about how health and safety is a priority, and they talk about how respecting each other is a priority. But, you know, they won't sign off on a number of our health and safety demands at bargaining. And we actually had a document that we brought to bargaining to define what respect actually means. And one of the things that respect means and is important to us is respecting our collective agreement. And they wouldn't even sign off on that document. So I don't know what respect means to them when you won't sign off on a definition of respect. So I find it to be quite confusing. So there is definitely, you know, we hear from our members on the floor, there's so many ways that people would like to look at changing how the workplace is, the workflows and how it's all done. But it all comes down to not having enough people to run your operation, that you have to rely on external forces to run it. And you can't run this place without overtime. These people are run ragged. It just doesn't make sense the way that they run it.
Martin, just the last thing for you. You know, the strike action is happening right now. Maybe tell me and describe to me a little bit about where these picket lines are.
Well, LNG Canada or Shell filed a common site picket application. So where we traditionally picket at the railroad tracks, we've been relegated to the North Cafeteria Gate and then to a secondary picket line by the main office building, which we refer to as the Glass House. And in order to have that all in place, the company is supposed to blockade all of the other access and egress points in the plant, which we've been checking those points. And actually, they're not all blocked off like they're supposed to be. And we're starting to see vehicles coming and going. So we're going to be inquiring with the labor board to ensure that they're holding their end of the bargain on that common site picket application or that order. So right now, our biggest picket line is at the North Cafeteria Gate. We encourage everybody to come down and support the workers that support the community. We have our MP, Taylor Backrack, coming down today at 3 p.m. to come and meet all of the striking workers on the picket line. We look forward to having a good discussion with him today.
Okay, Martin, thank you so much for your time and your efforts there. We will stay in touch as this story continues to develop.
Thank you very much and appreciate the coverage.
Indeed. You take care out there.
You too. Bye-bye.